بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Living the Quran through the Living Quran, an audio-visual translation of Tafsir al-Nur of Sheikh Mohsen Qaraati, translated by Salim Bimji and edited by Arif Huda. Audio version read out by the translator. In this 22-part series, we will be reviewing Chapter 58 of the Noble Quran, Surah Al-Mujadila, The Pleading Woman. A glimpse at Surah Al-Mujadila. This chapter has 22 verses and was revealed in Medina, and it is the only chapter of the Quran in which all of the verses contain the blessed name of Allah. Due to the event of the dispute, Jidal, which is referred to in the first verse, this chapter has taken on the name of Al-Mujadila. The areas of discussion which are contained in this chapter include the following four. Area 1, the jurisprudential rule of Zihar, a form of divorce which existed during the pre-Islamic era of Jahiliyyah. Area number 2, the positive and negative examples of private discussions, Najwa. Area number 3, respecting people who enter into gatherings. And area number 4, separation between the party of Allah, Hezbollah, and the party of Satan, Hizbul Shaitan. Specifics of the chapter. A majority of commentators of the Quran have stated that the opening verses of this chapter have a specific history behind their revelation, and they all point to one event. Even though there are slight differences in the various opinions of the scholars, however, these variations do not cause any major shifts of opinion. Now, the event of its revelation is as follows. A woman from amongst the Ansar named Khawla. Also, please note that there are other individuals whose names have been mentioned in the hadith with regards to the history of revelation, which we will not mention here. In any case, Khawla was from the clan of the Khazraj, and she was married to a man named Aus ibn Samit. One time, they had an argument, and in the heat of the moment and the rage which came over the husband, and by his very nature, as he was known to be abrasive and quick to react, he decided to divorce his wife. And so he said to her, "You are to me like my mother." Now, in that period of time, the pre-Islamic era of Jahiliyyah, when people were still transitioning to Islamic rules and laws, such a statement implied a divorce. However, it was a divorce which was irrevocable, while at the same time, the woman was not free to marry another person ever again, and thus it left the woman in the most difficult of positions. A short time passed and Aus became upset at what he had done, and so he said to his wife, "I think that you have now become impermissible for me to be with you forever." Khawla replied saying, "Do not say that. Go to the Messenger of Allah and ask him about the ruling for this issue." Aus replied saying, "I'm ashamed to go and ask him." His wife retorted, "Then let me go and ask him." Her husband said, "No problem, go ahead." Thus, Khawla went to the Prophet of Allah and explained the situation to him as follows. "O Messenger of Allah, my husband, Aus ibn Samit, had taken me as his wife some time ago. I was a young lady at the time. I was beautiful. I had wealth. And I had a family to rely upon. My wealth is now all used up. My beauty and looks are now gone as I have become old. And my family have all dispersed, and I am now an old woman. My husband has performed a Zihar divorce, and now he regrets it. Is there any way for us to return back to our previous married life?" The Prophet replied to her saying, "You have now become unlawful, haram for him." Khawla retorted, "O Messenger of Allah, he did not say the verbal formula for divorcing me. He's the father of my children and my most beloved." The Prophet once again said to her, "You have now become unlawful, haram for him. I do not have any other rulings from Allah in regards to this situation." The woman kept insisting and praying, and finally she turned to Allah and said, "I complain to Allah for my difficult state and my need and condition that I find myself in. O Allah, please send down a ruling to your Prophet in regards to my situation." In the hadith, it is mentioned that the woman went on to say the following. O Allah, indeed you know my state. So please have mercy upon me as I have young children. If this divorce cannot be reversed and I have to leave my children with their father, they will wither away as he will not be able to take care of them on his own. And if the children remain with me, then they will stay hungry as I too do not have the means to be able to provide for them. It was at this time that revelation, wahi, came to the Prophet, and the initial verses of this chapter descended upon him on how to resolve the issue of this case of zihar. Now when the Prophet received the verses, he asked Khawla to call her husband Aws to come and see him. When he arrived, the Prophet recited these initial verses to him and said, "Are you financially able to free a slave as the penalty, the kafara, for the zihar?" Aws replied, "If I do so, I will not have anything left for my family requirements." The Prophet then asked him, "Are you able to fast 2 months consecutively?" Aws once again replied, saying, "If I do not eat 3 times a day, my eyes will not function well, and I fear that by continuing to do so, I may go blind." The Prophet then asked him, "Are you able to feed 60 poor people?" To this, Aws said, "I can't do that either unless you help me in doing so." To his response, the Prophet replied, "I will help you and give you 15 sa'a." Now, this measure of food is sufficient to feed 60 people, and each person would receive 1 mud of food, or the equivalent of 1/4 of a man. And these are all weights of measurement which were used at the time of the Prophet of Islam. Thus, the Prophet assisted the man by giving him the means to expiate the zihar which he had instituted, and he used whatever the Prophet gave him to pay the penalty, the kafara. By doing so, he was able to return back to a normal life with his wife. Now, as we previously stated, many commentators of the Quran have acknowledged a similar history of revelation of the initial verses of this chapter, and this includes the likes of Al-Qurtubi, Al-Jaluti, Al-Alusi, Al-Tabatabai, Fakhr al-Din al-Razi, Sayyid Qutb, Abu al-Futuh al-Razi, and Fadil al-Miqdad. And the story of the history of revelation of these initial verses of Surah Al-Mujadila have also been related in many of the books of history and ahadith with slight differences. Merits of recitation. In regards to the merits of recitation of this chapter, there are 2 ahadith, one from Prophet Muhammad and one from Imam As-Sadiq. In the first tradition from Prophet Muhammad, it is stated, "It will be recorded for the one who recites Surah Al-Mujadila that on the Day of Judgment, they will be recognized as being of the party of Allah, Hizbullah." In addition, in a hadith from Imam As-Sadiq, it is mentioned, "The person who recites Surah Al-Hadid and Al-Mujadila in their obligatory prayers and continue to do so will not be punished by Allah, and will remain in this state of protection until they leave this world. Nor will they see any evil coming to them, nor to their family, and they will never face poverty." Now, the aptness of the content of these 2 chapters and the subsequent rewards which are mentioned in this hadith become clear and evident when we reflect on the rewards which are promised. And this shows that the purpose of recitation is to implement the contents of these chapters in one's life, not just an empty recitation without thought and action. We will conclude with listening to the Arabic of Surah Al-Mujadila, followed by the English translation of this chapter. And God willing, in our next installment, we will review verse number 1.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما إن الله سميع بصير الذين يظاهرون منكم من نسائهم ما هن أمهاتهم إن أمهاتهم إلا اللائي ولدنهم وإنهم ليظهرون يقولون منكرا من القول وزورا وإن الله لعفو غفور والذين يظاهرون من نسائهم ثم يعودون لما قالوا فتحرير رقبة من قبل أن يتماسا ذلكم توعظون به والله بما تعملون خبير فمن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين من قبل أن يتماسا فمن لم يستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا ذلك لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتلك حدود الله وللكافرين عذاب أليم إن الذين يحادون الله ورسوله كبتوا كما كبت الذين من قبلهم وقد أنزلنا آيات بينات وللكافرين عذاب مهين يوم يبعثهم الله جميعا فينبئهم بما عملوا أحصاه الله ونسوه والله على كل شيء شهيد ألم تر أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم ألم تر إلى الذين نهوا عن النجوى ثم يعودون لما نهوا عنه ويتناجون بالإثم والعدوان ومعصية الرسول وإذا جاءوك حيوك بما لم يحيك به الله وإذا جاءوك حيوك بما لم يحيك به الله ويقولون في أنفسهم لولا يعذبنا الله بما نقول حسبهم جهنم يصلونها فبئس المصير يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تناجيتم فلا تتناجوا بالإثم والعدوان ومعصية الرسول وتناجوا بالبر والتقوى واتقوا الله الذي إليه تحشرون إنما النجوى من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا وليس بضارهم شيئا إلا بإذن الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قيل لكم تفسحوا في المجالس فافسحوا يفسح الله لكم وإذا قيل انشزوا فانشزوا وإذا قيل انشزوا فانشزوا يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات والله بما تعملون خبير يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة ذلك خير لكم وأطهر فإن لم تجدوا فإن الله غفور رحيم أأشفقتم أن تقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقات فإذ لم تفعلوا وتاب الله عليكم فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الله ورسوله والله خبير بما تعملون ألم تر إلى الذين تولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم ما هم منكم ولا منهم ويحلفون على الكذب وهم يعلمون أعد الله لهم عذابا شديدا إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله فلهم عذاب مهين لن تغني عنهم أموالهم ولا أولادهم من الله شيئا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون يوم يبعثهم الله جميعا فيحلفون له كما يحلفون لكم ويحسبون أنهم على شيء ألا إنهم هم الكاذبون استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا إن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون إن الذين يحادون الله ورسوله أولئك في الأذلين كتب الله لأغلبن أنا ورسلي إن الله قوي عزيز لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Allah has indeed heard and accepted the words of the woman who pleads with you, Muhammad, concerning her husband and refers her complaint to Allah. Allah hears the dialogue between you, between Khawla and Prophet Muhammad. Surely Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. Those among you who declare their wives to be unlawful for them by using of them the expression, "Be as my mother's back to me," should know that their wives are not their mothers. Their mothers are none other than the women who gave them birth. Such men certainly utter a word abhorred by the Sharia and a falsehood. Yet Allah is surely all-pardoning, He overlooks the faults of His servants, all-forgiving. Those who declare their wives unlawful for them by using that abhorred expression, and thereafter wish to go back on the words they have uttered, must free a slave before they, the spouses, have physical contact with each other. This is what you are urged to do, and Allah is fully aware of what you do, so do not seek to evade this act of penitence and expiation for your wrong. Whoever does not find means to do that, let him fast 2 lunar months consecutively before they, the spouses, touch each other. And he that is not able to do so, his penitence shall be to feed 60 destitute ones. This is in order that you perfect your faith in Allah and His Messenger, so that you believe in the truth of whatever Allah has enjoined and His Messenger conveyed to you and live accordingly. These are the bounds of Allah, and for the unbelievers there is a painful punishment. Those who oppose Allah and His Messenger in the observance of Allah's bounds, will certainly be abased in the world, even as those who did likewise before them were abased. We have certainly sent down clear revelations to guide you to happiness in both worlds. And for the unbelievers, there is a humiliating punishment. On the day when Allah will raise them all from the dead, and make them truly understand all that they did in the world, and call them to account. Allah has had it written down, though they have forgotten it. Allah is witness over everything. Have you not considered that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth? There is not a secret council between three persons, but He, Allah, is the fourth of them, nor between five, but He, Allah, is the sixth of them, nor less than that, nor more, but He, Allah, is with them wherever they may be. Thereafter, He, Allah, will make them truly understand all that they do and call them to account on the day of resurrection. Surely Allah has full knowledge of everything. Have you not considered those who were forbidden to hold secret councils and yet reverted to what they had been forbidden and held secret meetings to commit sins, such as drinking alcohol, gambling and evading the prayer, and for urging one another to offensiveness and disobedience to the messenger in his commands and prohibitions? It is these very people who, when they come to you, salute you with a salutation that Allah has never taught you, with which He has never saluted you, and say to one another in derision, "Why does Allah not punish us for what we say if Muhammad is truly His prophet?" Hell will suffice them, they will enter it to roast. How evil a destination to arrive at! O you who believe, if you hold secret councils, do not hold secret councils to commit sins, or for urging one another to offensiveness and disobedience to the messenger, but rather hold councils for godliness and righteousness and piety. Keep from disobedience to Allah in reverence for Him and piety, to whom you will be gathered. Secret councils held for other reasons are only a provocation from Satan, in order that he may cause grief to the believers. Yet he cannot harm them in anything unless by Allah's leave, and in Allah let the believers put their trust. O you who believe, when you are told, "Make room in the assemblies for one another and for newcomers," do make room. Allah will make room for you in His grace in paradise. And when you are told, "Rise up and leave the assembly," then do rise up. Allah will raise in degree those of you who truly believe and act accordingly, and in degrees those who have been granted the knowledge, especially of religious matters. Surely Allah is fully aware of all that you do. O you who believe, when you intend to consult the messenger in private, offer something in alms to him before your consultation. That is better for you and purer. Yet if you do not find the means to do so, then Allah is surely all-forgiving, all-compassionate. Is it that you are afraid of offering something in alms before you consult with him, Prophet Muhammad? If so, and you have not done it, and Allah has turned to you in forgiveness, then establish the prayer in conformity with its conditions, and pay the prescribed purifying alms, the zakat, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah is fully aware of all that you do. Have you not considered those who take for confidants and guardians a people whom Allah has condemned to punishment? They are neither of you, O believers, nor of the others whom they take for confidants and guardians. They swear to a lie that they are of you, while they know it to be a lie. Allah has prepared for them a severe punishment. Evil indeed is that which they do habitually. They take their oaths as a covering to screen their misdeeds and themselves from accusation, and bar people from Allah's way. Therefore, there is for them a humiliating punishment. Neither their wealth nor their children will avail them anything against Allah. They are companions of the fire. They will abide therein. The day when Allah will raise them all from the dead, they will swear to Him as now they swear to you. They fancy that they will have something standing through their oaths. Be aware, they are but liars. Satan has subdued them, and so caused them to forget the remembrance of Allah. Those are the party of Satan. Be aware, the party of Satan, they are the losers, the self-ruined. Those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, surely those will be among the most abased. Allah has decreed, I will most certainly prevail, I and my messengers. Surely Allah is all strong, all glorious, with irresistible might. You will never find a people who truly believe in Allah and the last day, loving toward those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they be their own parents or their children, or their brothers and sisters in their clan. Those are they in whose hearts Allah has inscribed faith and has strengthened them with a spirit from Him, which is the source of their spiritual vigor and intellectual enlightenment. And He will admit them into gardens through which rivers flow, therein to abide. Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Him. Those are the party of Allah. Be aware, the party of Allah are those who are prosperous.